بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If we said that we will discuss there are five lessons that we will do before commencing with the actual bayan of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. So inshallah here we will commence with the first lesson, which he terms as Noor, Noor Awwal. He says, Is mashq ka fayda sirf in unhi salikin ko hoga jo zikr wa shughal ke tariq ko baazabta ikhtiyar kar chuke hai. He says, only those people that treading the path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, only those people will benefit from this exercise that we're going to do, this bayan of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. He says, those people that have formally done a course in zikrullah. First they must do a course in zikrullah and spiritual exercises, then they will benefit from this. Aur inko kisi darja mein malaka yaaddaash hasil ho chuka ho. And to some extent, they have attained the quality of concentration. That by making zikr, this is the benefit that a person is going to get. That to some level, he would have attained the quality of concentration through zikrullah. This is the benefit of zikrullah. So he says, that person that underwent this cause, and to some extent, he has got now concentration, he will now benefit from this cause that is to come. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that when a murid, he comes to my khanqa, he says, then initially we're not concerned about the islah of that murid. He says, the example of that murid that comes initially to the khanqa, he says, is like a person that has brought a bundle of clothing in India, perhaps, or maybe some other places where clothing is taken for washing. So now you make a parcel of that clothing. It's all wrapped up in a cloth, in a big cloth. So in that cloth that you got, all the different types of clothing is in there, the different colors are in there. So this is taken and is given to the person that does the laundry. So now that person who is doing the laundry, he doesn't just take the whole lot and he starts washing it. Everything is separated. If you want to put it in the machine, then you won't put the same colors together. The whites will be put separately, the colors will be put separately. And then a person, he will clean it. Then he will wash it, he'll put it into the machine. And after washing it, then he will remove it, he will iron it. And then only it is presentable, now you can give it to the customer. So in the same way, Mullah Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that a person that comes to the khanqa, there's many, many thoughts in the mind of that person. So he says, first we make an effort on that person that he becomes one tracked. He starts thinking in one particular line. And when he starts thinking in one particular way, now whatever islah we need to make of that person, we will make islah of that person from that point onwards. I was gives an example of this. He says, in the previous times, in South Africa, says perhaps our fathers or grandfathers, many of them in the olden days, they used to live in the farm towns. They never used to all live in town, in the city. They used to live in the farm towns. They had their little shops in the farm towns. So normally, on the day of Jumu'ah, from the farm towns, they will now then come to the city. Because they say it's Jumu'ah also, so we'll make our Jumu'ah namaz. And with that, they come with a whole list, because they come from the morning. So now whatever goods we have to buy for selling in the shop for the next week, they'll do all the buying also. Then they got some accounts to pay. So they'll go and pay those accounts. Somebody's got to pay light account, somebody telephone account. So whatever accounts they got to pay, business accounts, they go and pay all those accounts. And then in the evening they go home. Now that person that came from the farm town, and he came to the masjid to perform his Jumu'ah Salah, he is going to concentrate in his Salah, or on the back of his mind, he's got all the work that he got to do and still finish. He's got all those thoughts that are on the back of the mind. So first a person, he has to gain some level of concentration, then he will be able to get his salah correct, then he will be able to get his salah in order. If he's got all these thoughts, and now he's not going to get his salah right, he's not going to be corrected. So that's what he's saying, that to some level you must gain this quality of concentration. اب وہ اس ملکہ سے اپنی نمازوں کو باروح بنا سکتے ہیں. He says, now once you attain this quality of concentration, then you can make your salah a salah of spirituality, a salah of life. اور نماز کے ذریعے سے وہ اپنی باطنی مدارج میں بہت ترقی کر سکتے ہیں. And he says, through this salah that Allah Ta'ala has given you, he says, in your internal stages, your spiritual stages, a person can advance tremendously. That if your salah is in order, then spiritually a person, he can advance, a person can progress, he can reach Allah Ta'ala very, very quickly. The salah is a very, very important tool. Like for example, a person, he's got an aeroplane. Now that aeroplane, if he flies it, he can do 500-600 kilometers in an hour. Whereas if you're going by car, it will take you 5 hours. That distance which takes 5 hours by car, you will cover in 1 hour by means of an aeroplane. But a person doesn't know how to pilot that plane. He didn't do a course on how to fly that aeroplane. So he's got such a powerful tool in his hand, but it's a waste of time. Why? Because you don't know how to fly that aeroplane. So exactly the same way, a person that learns salah, that how a person should perform salah, that person through his salah, he will reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very, very quickly. The ulama has written, they say that salah is one of the most effective ways of reaching Allah ta'ala. But it is not the only way. They say to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there are so many ways, as some say, as many as the creation of Allah. How many creations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala there are? There are so many ways to reach Allah ta'ala. Others say that as many as the breath, as many as the breath that a person takes, how much of breath we take. He says, according to that or to that number, there are ways to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So there are different ways to reach Allah ta'ala. For example, somebody, he's buzruki, he's piety. He's in the social welfare work that he's doing. He is serving the humanity. He's taking care of the makhluk of Allah ta'ala. How many people, they leave their homes, they leave their families, they go to places like Syria, they go to places where like Rohingya, where there's so much of difficulty. And sometimes their lives are in difficulty, but they go and they serve the people. So their buzruki, their piety is in that. Some people, their buzruki, their piety is in taking care of animals. We learn in the hadith that person showed kindness to a dog and that Allah Ta'ala made his maghfirat. So their piety is in that. So in different ways. But it's said that many people, we think generally, when we think, for example, I'm very, very powerful with my salah, or for example, I'm very functional with my tahajjud namaz. So piety is only in this. No, piety is not only in this. There are different avenues by which a person can reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was asked the question that amongst the buzruk, the great ulama of India, when Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was alive, he says, who is the most closest to Allah ta'ala? So Hazrat said that this is something is impossible to answer. That only Allah ta'ala knows which person in which khidmat, what khidmat he is doing, and that he is beloved to Allah ta'ala. So that person will reach Allah ta'ala. How many people we find that we don't even know, we go, for example, Eid Salah. So we go to the Eidgah, and we, mashallah, we read our Salah comfortable, and we get up and we gone. But how many people are there, perhaps from before Fajr Namaz? They already laying out the carpet for us, making it possible for us to read our Eid Salah. So on that, a person can become a beloved of Allah Ta'ala. How many people in the quiet, nobody even knows. They go, they maintain the Qabristan, they take care of the Qabristan. Whatever sand, rubble that is lying over there, all this, they get it carted away, they get removed from the Qabristan, and nobody even knows that. So isn't that also a khidmat? That is also a service to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In our communities, we don't even know. There's one person that I met now lately in Azadville, and he was explaining to me himself, for one particular masjid, big masjid, he buys the date, the khajur, for the whole month of Ramadan. And with that, he gives, I think, almonds and he gives cashews. All that for 16 to 17 years, he says, I've been doing this khidmat, I've been buying, and I've been giving, and nobody knows about it. So we don't know. For one person makes iftari, what the entire day's roza sawab you're going to get. Your maghfirat is going to be made on that. So in that, is that person's buzruki, his piety. There are those employers that we get, Muslim employers, that are very, very wealthy, big companies they have. We find that some of them, every year, that one employee they choose, and they pay for his entire hajj. And they send him for hajj. So different, there are different ways that a person can reach Allah Ta'ala. But he says that the very, very effective and very fast way to reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is through the salah. So this is what he explains over here. He says that through namaz, a person, he will reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala spiritually. Internally, he progresses very quickly. جو طریق نبوت سے ترقی کرنے کے مختلف ذرائع میں سے ایک اہم ذریعہ ہے. He says in the path of nubuwat, from the various different ways of progressing and reaching Allah Ta'ala, this is one very, very important way. Very, very important that through salah, that a person, he reaches Allah Ta'ala very quickly. ورنہ بے روح نماز تو نہ طریق ولایت میں مؤثر ہے اور نہ طریق نبوت میں معتبر ہے. He says otherwise, if that salah doesn't have any ruh in it doesn't have any life, any spirituality in it, then he says in the path of wilayat, in reaching Allah Ta'ala, it has no effect also. And in the path of nubuwat also, according to shariat also, that salah really doesn't have any real is not really considered. A person is absolved of his responsibility, but that salah doesn't hold any value as such, because it's salah like a dead salah. It has no ruh, it has no life in it whatsoever. Like for example, those sahaba that fought the battle of Badr, what spirituality they must have had. There were 313 sahaba, and they fought against the kuffar of 1,000, and Allah Ta'ala gave them victory. They say in today's time, if you get 313 people like that, like the Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who fought the Battle of Badr, they will bring a revolution in the world. They will change the whole world. Because this is the life that Sahaba had in them. And one thing that holds us back, that doesn't allow us to progress in this path, is the gunas. When a person, Allah Ta'ala save us, he gets involved in the disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then this is what holds a person back. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah, in one poem he says, Fisq dur karta hai manzil se, agarche peer ho lasani. He says that fisq, the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, this, it makes you go further and further away from your destination. Your destination is Allah, you want to reach Allah Ta'ala. But gunas does not let you reach Allah Ta'ala. Agarche shaykh tera ho lasani, even though your peer, your shaykh, there's no secondary, meaning he is the greatest shaykh in the world. And people have reached Allah Ta'ala through him. But even if you have that type of a shaykh, but you get involved in the disobedience of Allah, you won't reach your destination. This is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told us, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he said, ittaqil maharim, takun a'badan nas. Stay away from haram. That which is the haram, which is the disobedience of Allah, stay away from that. You will become the greatest ibadat guzar. This is the greatest ibadat. That a person stays away from the disobedience of Allah. This is how Hazrat explains in a beautiful way. He says, we want Allah Ta'ala to come into the heart. He says, but you got a cup. You got a cup or a glass. Now he says, on that glass, somebody drank water. But on his fingers, there was curry. So on the outside, now inside the glass is perfect. It's clean, a very, very clean glass. But outside, he held the glass with the curry hand. So he says, will you drink water now in that glass? We'll never. We won't drink from there. Why? But the curry mark is only on the outside. The inside is clean. So we so particular, and we want Allah Ta'ala to come into the heart. And then there's gunas in that heart. How is it possible? For example, I'll give another example. He says there was one person that was a friend, and he says he was a diabetic. So at one stage, his sugar was extremely high. Extremely high. So when his sugar was high, they had to hospitalize him, and they were monitoring this person. But he says, no matter what they did and what treatment they gave him, his sugar wasn't coming down. The sugar would always remain high. So after some time, one day the nurses, they were checking, or perhaps they were cleaning the bed, and under the pillow, now they found all the chocolate wrappers. He was ducking under the blanket and he's eating chocolate and he's hiding the wrappers over there. So he says, exactly the same way is gunas. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, we're saying this because we all need it. That when a person, he's treading this path, he is going to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He wants to reach Allah Ta'ala. But the moment he gets involved in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, this will pull him right back. He won't reach his destination. He has to give up gunas, then a person reaches his destination. Somebody was mentioning the other day that one buzruk in Madinatul Munawwara, he was mentioning many a times a person thinks, I can duck, I can dive and do the guna, nobody will find out. So he says that those people that duck and dive, he says, in this fight, they involve in gunas, and nobody really finds out also about it. Allah Ta'ala conceals, this is the kindness of Allah Ta'ala, that they don't really find out about it. He says, this will affect a person at the time of death. When he's leaving the world, it becomes a barrier from reciting kalima. Those gunas you did secretly, which nobody except illa man tab. Hazrat used to say, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi, he used to mention these things, but then he used to come in josh, and then Hazrat used to say, illa man tab, except the person that made tawbah. When you make tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will wipe it out. And similarly, that Buzruk mentioned of Medina Munawwara, he said that those things that you did with ikhlas, you did with sincerity, even though nobody knew about it, but it was done for Allah Ta'ala. At the time of maut, this is what will assist a person to recite the kalima. Mawla Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali, we used to read this kitab before, but now I don't think it's read. The Jazawul Amal of Mawla Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali. In there, Mawla Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali has written various harms of gunas. And amongst the various harms, one Mawla Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali wrote, he says there was a person, he was on the verge of passing away. So he says, how when a person gets involved in gunas, he becomes totally despondent of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. He loses hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. That way is Allah Ta'ala going to forgive me. So he says, this is the harm of guna. So he says that one person, he was on the verge of passing away. And people came to him and they told him, come, recite kalima. So at that time, he started singing. He started singing at that time. So he says that there isn't a single guna that I have ever left out. Meaning every guna I have done. He says, you think now I'm going to read kalima, Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive me. And in that state he was singing, he passed away. Another person, they came to him at the time of death. They told him, recite kalima. Recite kalima. This person said that namaz, I never read a single namaz. He says, you think I'm going to read kalima now, Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive me. He never read kalima, he passed away. When Hassan bin Rahmatullah wrote another incident. He says one person, he was on the verge of passing away. They came to him, they said, recite Kalima. He says that somebody is holding my tongue. Someone is holding my tongue. And because of this, he says, I'm unable to recite Kalima. And in that way, this person passed away. So guna is our worst. It says that guna is our worst enemy. Spiritually also, it won't allow a person to progress. And in this path also, that we want that concentration in salah, this would hold us back. Guna, this is the greatest enemy. Our Hazrat gives an example. He says, if a person, he does wrong, and he says that then he sincerely makes tawbah, he changes his life, and then later on he gets involved again, he makes a error again, that person is still okay. But he says where a person is continuously involved in gunas, he's involved in sins. So he says like a cup. So he says this cup is filling. This cup is now filling. And he says as it fills, it will come to the point where it will overflow. It will become full and it will then overflow. He says this is very, very dangerous. When that cup becomes full, and the cup then overflows, he says, this is a very, very difficult state. This person, his iman is in danger. This person is in a very, very difficult position because he hasn't been making tawbah. So therefore, this teaches one dua over here. He says that one dua we should make, Allahumma waqiyatan kawaqiyatil walid. And make dua that through this dua, Allah protect me from gunas. Allahumma waqiyatan kawaqiyatil walid. Oh Allah, you take care of me. Oh Allah, you protect me. Oh Allah, you save me. Like how a newborn child, a little baby is protected. Like that, oh Allah, you protect me. This is a dua we should read. And you can read it for various things, for all types of protection. But make intention of gunas. That Allah protect me from gunas. Allahumma waqiyatan kawaqiyatil walid. So that explains this. He says that there's a child in the house. So what happens now is this child, it's got a habit. Child likes to eat sand. The children, they like to eat sand. So now every time the child goes into the yard, the child brings sand, and the child is now eating sand. So what happens eventually, the mother tells the child's father, she tells the husband, you know what, our child every time he goes in the yard, he's bringing sand, he's eating sand. So she says, you know what you do, pave the driveway now, pave the driveway. So there's no more sand now for the child to eat. So they pave the driveway, so the driveway is now paved. So now there's no sand for the child, the child is not going to eat any sand. But now what's going to happen? Now the child plays with the neighbor's child. And the neighbor's child now, he's going to bring sand. And now when he brings sand, the both of them are going to share now, and they're going to eat sand together. So what the mother does now? The mother says, we have to have customs desk. Put customs now. When the neighbor's child comes, first thing the mother stops that child. Search that child. Have you got sand in the pocket? You got sand? Take all the sand out. So what happens? She protects her child. So this is exactly the same way. That when we will recite this dua, then like how that mother protects that child of hers, Allah Ta'ala will protect us. And in which way? That when a person, he doesn't stop that guna that he's involved in, he doesn't stop that guna. He continues. Now you'll find problems in his life. He's got problems. At home he's got problems. Sometimes in the business he's got problems. So this is Allah Ta'ala is giving him a wake up call. Allah Ta'ala wants to protect him. That wake up now. Now change your life a little bit. So the person, he changes his life. Like how the father now, he paved the driveway. So this person now changed. And sometimes he says, now like how the neighbor's child brings the sand. So sometimes a person, he can't give it up. Why? For example, he's working in a certain company. And in that company, for example, the secretary is over there. So he can't stay away from that secretary. Or a person, he's living in front of the university. He's living in front of the school. So because he's living there, he can't protect his eyes. Because those young girls are there. They are up and down all the time. So what happens? Now Allah Ta'ala will bring a problem in his employment. They'll fire him. He'll lose his job. Or where he was staying, the landlord comes, he tells you, right, you know what, I'm giving you notice, I need my premises. So you wondering why I'm going through this problem, I lost my job, so much difficulty I'm going through here. Over here, they gave me notice, I have to leave my house. But he says, Allah Ta'ala wanted to take you out from that house. Now he'll give you a house opposite the masjid. And there you'll go straight into the masjid, now there's no girls over there. So see how Allah Ta'ala protects you. Or that person, he lost his job. He went through a little bit of difficulty, and 1-2 months later, he got a job that was 10 times better. And in that job path, there's only men that are working over there. There's no ladies also. So Allah Ta'ala protects you. So through this dua, Allah Ta'ala will protect a person. As it says in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it comes that when a person, he makes tawbah. So he says, at that time, a person, he should shed tears. He should shed tears. And he said, the word that is used is the plural, dumur. Dumur is in the plural. So he says that, what is the aqalla jama'ah? In the plural, what is the minimum? The minimum for a plural is 3. So he says that when you make tawbah, when you cry to Allah Ta'ala, then try to shed at least 3 drops, 3 tears. 3 tears must come out of the eyes. And so small, I can't remember if he says the head of a needle or the head of a fly, something of that sort. He says, try to shed 3 small tears that a person made tawbah. And that tawbah that a person makes also, he says, try to make it on bare ground, where it is bare ground. So that tear will fall on the ground also. Or make it on those places, as the Kim Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, make it on those places, for example, ceramic tiles or something, where it is those things upon which you can make tayammum. Those things upon which you can make tayammum. He says, on those things, make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala, cry to Allah Ta'ala at such places. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will protect such a person. So, Ya Allama Busayri Rahmatullah Ali, in his Fatira Burda Sharif, he mentions, he says that this nafs, the desire for guna is always there. He says, one nafsu katif, this nafs is like a child. This nafs is like a child. And he says, in tuhmilhu shabba ala hubbir radai. That if you leave the child, the mother, she's breastfeeding the child doesn't never want to leave the mother. When the mother wants to wean the child off, sometimes the mother, she has to leave the child, she has to sleep in another room, put the child in another room. Sometimes she has to put some plaster or something on the breast. So, and in this way, she has to wean the child off. So he says, if you leave that child, if you don't wean that child off, the child wants the milk, you give the child the milk. شَبَّ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ الرَّضَاعِ. He'll grow up a young boy, he'll be drinking milk. 7 years old, 8 years old, he'll still be drinking his mother's milk. Why? Because the mother didn't make the effort in the beginning. She didn't wean the child off. وَإِن تَفْتِمْهُ يَنْفَتِمِ. And if you wean the child off, if the mother goes through a little bit difficulty, the child also cries, he throws up some tantrums, no problem. Let him go through it. But just wean the child off. Then for life, the child is 1.5, 2 years old, he stopped drinking milk. For the rest of his life now he gives it up. Exactly the nafs. What we say, alright, you know what, I've done this guna, now I want to give it up. But now that I want to give it up, I'll do it one last time. One last time I'll do it. And after that I will give it up. Allama Busayri Rahmatullahi says, فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاتِ كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا. That now through gunas, don't try to break your shahwat, that desire that you have to do gunas. He says, the desire that you have to commit gunas, he says, don't try to give it up now by getting involved in gunas. He says, this won't break that desire. When you say that, now let me do it one last time, he says, the desire that will come after will be even more stronger, and even more stronger thereafter. So he says, a person should take the courage and break that desire. Khaja Sahib Rahmatullahi, Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Madzub Rahmatullahi, he was a government official. But when he came in a company of Malat Hanwi Rahmatullahi, way Allah Ta'ala raised him. When Khaja Sahib Rahmatullahi used to speak, great, great people like Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, great, great people like that, they would be sitting there. Nobody would speak. Khaja Sahib would speak. And Khaja Sahib wasn't even an alim of deen. This was the position Allah Ta'ala had given him. So one day a person, Jigar Murada Badi Rahmatullahi, he saw Khaja Sahib. So when he saw Khaja Sahib and he saw his beard and sunnat libas, and he says, where you went? He says, no, Thanabon, in the company of Mullah Thanwi Rahmatullah. So he says, one day when you go, I must take me also. I also want to come. But Jigar Murad Abadi Rahmatullah, he was a perpetual drunkard. Always. He and his bottle. He said, but one condition. When you take me, I'm going to come with my bottle. I can't leave my bottle. So I'll come to the Khanka, but I'll come with my bottle. So Khaja Sahib said, alright. When I go to Thanabon, then I'll speak to Hazrat and I'll ask Hazrat permission that you want to come, but you want to come with your bottle. So he went to Thanabon. They asked Hazrat that Jigar Murad Abadi, he wants to come. But he says one condition, he wants to come with his bottle. So Hazrat said that, okay, I can let him come, but he will have to stay in my house. He can't stay in the Khanka. He says, this is a public place. He can't come with his bottle here. But a kafir, you can entertain him by your house also. It's no problem. So he says, I'll entertain him by my house. So next time when Khaja Sahib met Jigar Murad Abadi Rahmatullah Ali, he says, no, Hazrat gave permission. He says, but you can't come with your bottle in the public place. You come and you stay by the house. Hazrat will keep you by the house. So he said, okay. So he got ready and he came to the Khanka. When he came to the Khanka, Hazrat Tawajjuh just fell on him. So he told Hazrat Tanwir Rahmatullah, he says, make dua for me. He says, what dua you want? So he was a perpetual drunkard. He told Hazrat Tanwir Rahmatullah, first dua, he said, Allah Ta'ala must give me the tawfiq of keeping a shari beard. I don't have a shari beard. 1 foot length on all sides. That I must have a full shari beard. That is for those people that it grows. If it doesn't grow to that length, then a person is excused. So he said that I want a shari beard. So he says, okay, that's one dua. He says, what's the second dua that you want? He says, this habit of drinking that I got, that I must give up this habit of drinking. So he says, okay, that's the second dua. Then he said, that what's the third dua that you want? So he says, Allah Ta'ala must take me for Hajj. Allah Ta'ala must take me to Baytullah, he must take me for Hajj. And he says, what's the fatwa? He says, the fatwa is that Allah Ta'ala must give me death upon Iman. Just that much. Just that much. He met Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. And he went away from there. He mentioned that after he left from there, Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq, he grew a full shari beard. Complete shari beard Allah Ta'ala gave. This is sohbat of Ahlullah. That sometimes, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi has written in his Kashkol and Ma'rifat, he says that buzruks, what we call buzruks? We call them durvesh. They used to call them durvesh. So he says, what is durvesh? He says, dur means moti, pearl. And vesh means misal. In Arabic, misal. Misal means to be like something. So he says that when you go in the sohbat, you go in the company of Ahlullah, he says, durvesh, they will make you like moti, they will make you like pearl. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi has written, or Mullah Rumi rahmatullahi, one of them, they said that even if your heart is hard like a rock, and then you come in the sohbat of Ahlullah, and you sit in the sohbat of Ahlullah, he says they will make you like pearls, they will change your entire life. And this, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi, he's written in Mishkat, under Sharh of Mishkat Sharif. He says that al-ayn wa haqq, that the eye, this is a reality. If a person, you put bad nazar on somebody, it's a reality. A person, he gets sick until that nazar is removed. So he says when there is such a thing as bad nazari, somebody's nazar falls on another person and he becomes ill, then what about the nazar of the Ahlullah and the friends of Allah Ta'ala? He says such effect that he has, Mullah Ali Qari has written in detail, what comes to my mind right now, he mentioned that one is a person that is a fasiq, he's a transgressor of Shariat. Just by one nazar of Ahlullah, he becomes salih and he becomes righteous. And in the end he writes, a person that is a kafir, if he has to sit in the sohbat of Ahlullah, the true Ahlullah, he says Allah Ta'ala will change him and he will be blessed with Iman. He says that is the company. So he got the tawfiq of keeping that beard. Then Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq of going for Hajj also. And then he's drinking. One day the thought just came into his heart. This was the effect of Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. That dua. That he just stopped drinking. So when he stopped drinking, all of a sudden he became very, very sick. So when he fell very ill, they took him to the doctors. So the doctor said, you can't stop drinking like this. You are a perpetual drunkard. And you want to stop drinking like this. You can't stop. So he said, what must I do? So he says, gradually, cut it down, little at a time, until you come to that stage where you have completely stopped drinking. So he says, what will be the benefit? If I do this and I gradually cut down, what's the benefit? You live a little bit longer. So he says, how much more? What doctors know how long you're going to live? So maybe they gave the estimation, maybe 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be. Obviously, they know nothing. So they just said that so many years extra you are going to live. And he says, if I stop drinking, what is going to happen? Say, you'll die. So he says, I rather die now. But I'll die in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Rather than me gradually cutting it down, I'm breaking Allah Ta'ala's command, but I'm going to live a little bit more. And the last one where he said, make dua that khatama alal iman, that I must die upon iman. If I'm not mistaken, Khaja Sahib at the time of death is rolling on the floor and he's crying to Allah Ta'ala. And he says, Allah, that how I led my life, so much of this obedience of yours, crying, making tawbah, and in that condition he left the dunya also. So this is how a person should be ready to give up that guna. That he must, when he makes up his mind that I want to give it up, then no matter what happens, a person must give it up. It's mentioned in one narration, it comes that Allah Ta'ala informed the Bani Israel, that O Bani Israel, that when I am obeyed, that when I'm obeyed, I become very happy. And when I become happy, then I send my rahmat upon you. And my rahmat is so much that there is no limit to my rahmat. To the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, there's no limit. And then Allah Ta'ala told Bani Israel that when I'm disobeyed, when you break my command, then I send down my lanat and my curse upon you. And this curse remains for 7 generations. 7 generations. We don't only suffer, our children suffer, our children's children suffer. 7 generations, they suffer the curse of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And for a person that's righteousness also, his children also benefit from there. In the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam, they came to that one town, people didn't give them food. Khidr alayhi salam started building the wall. So Musa alayhi salam got very angry. He says, why? Why are you building the wall? They didn't even give us food. And you're building the wall, you're not even taking money from them. But why did he do it? He says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. That the parents, they were very, very righteous people. So Allah Ta'ala wanted that there's a treasure, there's treasure under this wall. That they'll grow up and they will be able to extract that treasure that is there. So on the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala protected that treasure. in Surah Baqarah, we read Surah Baqarah. Why it's called Surah Baqarah? Surah Baqarah got the title because the incident of the cow is mentioned here. That in the time of Bani Israel, there was a murder that took place. So when this murder took place, these people, Allah Ta'ala instructed them to slaughter a cow. Lengthy incident, I'm not going to go into it. Slaughter the cow and take a piece of meat and put it on the dead person. He'll come back to life and he'll see who the murderer was. So regarding this incident of Surah Baqarah, finally they managed to get a cow. And what a price they paid. So who did they get this cow from? It is mentioned in the kitabs of tafsir that this cow that they got, there was a young boy. And his father had passed away and he was very, very small. So what his father had a cow. He only had this calf. That time it was a calf. So he took this calf and he went to the jungle. And he said, Wallah, I'm giving this animal in your trust, in your amanat. You protect this animal. So it is mentioned when this animal was given, when this calf was given, even in the trust of Allah Ta'ala, in the amanat of Allah Ta'ala, nobody could get close to this animal. If anyone tried, they couldn't get close to this animal. So Allah Ta'ala protected this animal. So this young boy grew up. And he was extremely obedient to his mother. He said he was so obedient to his mother, he was so obedient that one third of the night this youngster, he would spend in the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. One third of the night he would sleep. And one third of the night he would remain at the service and the khidmat of his mother. During the day he used to go out and earn, he used to perhaps cut some wood or whatever and earn. Of that one third he will give to his mother. One third he will use for himself. And one third he will give in sadaqah. So this young boy, you know, when he grew up and he was working, so one day his mother told him, look, that you work so hard, your night also you go through so much of difficulty, your day also you go through so much of difficulty, your father has left an animal in the jungle. It's in the jungle. So go to the jungle and call in the name of, by the Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, and I think Ishaq alayhi salam. Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq alayhi salam, and tell Allah Ta'ala to bring that animal to you. And if you look at the skin of that animal, you will find as though the rays of the sun are emitting from there. So this young boy, he went to the jungle. And the moment he reached the jungle, the first animal that he saw was the same cow. He saw like the rays of that sun on the skin of that cow. So he made dua by the Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. And the moment he made this dua that come, and he made dua that Allah give this cow to me, that cow immediately walked and came to him. So he told the cow, he instructed, come, let's go. Now it's taking the cow home. So the cow stopped. He said, why are you going through difficulty? Ride upon me. Get on top of me. So he says, my mother didn't give me permission to ride upon you. My mother said, only bring you and come home. So the cow, Allah Ta'ala gave the cow the ability to speak. He said, if you only sat on me without the permission of your mother, then you would have never had control over me or you would have lost control of me. So he went to the house. So when he went to the house, so the mother said, see, we got this cow. Let's sell this cow. So how much must we sell it for? So they said the plus minus rate of this cow, I think was about three dinars or three dirhams, whatever it was. Three gold coins and three silver coins. So mother said, okay, take it to the market and sell it for three. But don't conclude the deal. You say you're selling it for three. If somebody comes to buy it, then you come back to me. And you see if I approve of it or not. So he went to sell it. So he said that we're selling this cow for three. So one person came, he said, I'll give you six, double the price. He said, but my mother said I must come back to her. Until my mother doesn't approve, I can't sell the cow. So he says, I'll give you six now. He says, no. Let me go back to my mother. He went back to his mother. So his mother said, no. What you do is, go back. And now sell it for six. But don't conclude the deal. Come back for my approval. So when he went back, the same person came. He says, how much? He says, I want six. He says, no, I'll give you 12. Why you want six? I'll give you 12 for that. But you need to conclude the deal now. So he says, no. My mother said, no. I'm going back to my mother. So he came back to his mother. So when he came to his mother, so his mother said, see, this was a test upon you. That person that came and made this offer to you, that is an angel. That is a farishta from the side of Allah Ta'ala. So go back to that same angel now, who came in the form of a human being, and ask him what should be done with this cow. So he came back, and he met the same farishta, the same angel. So he says that my mother said must make mashwara with you, that how much must we sell the cow for? What should we do? So he said that look, Bani Israel, a murder is going to take place. And they're going to look for this cow. So when they find this cow, they're going to pay you so much that the skin of the cow, and how big is the skin of the cow, Qurbani time, we take out the skin, you know, a goat or a sheep, how big that is. So imagine the cow. He says that gold that will be filled into this, into the skin, that will be the price of the cow. So then this murder had taken place in the Bani Israel, and the Bani Israel, they asked so many questions and made it difficult upon themselves. So finally they had to get this cow, but look at the price that they paid. But this was what? On the righteousness of the father. When the father was righteous, and he took it and he gave it in the amanat of Allah Ta'ala, then look, when the child grew up and he was righteous, he was obedient to his mother, then through the barakat of this, then look at the wealth that he acquired in just by selling one cow. So when a person, he gives up gunas, and he obeys Allah Ta'ala, then what doesn't Allah Ta'ala give such a person? Inshallah, we'll continue.